America tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. Coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. Water cooler buzz is at its best. You get to throw in your two cents and be a part of the conversation. And I don't care what your political stripes are. Right of right, left of left, confused, in between, or sick of it all. I asked somebody the other day, we were talking, and it seemed like he was extremely liberal. We were having a conversation about the budget, naturally. And somehow it came up, oh, you're a Democrat. And he said, you know, I used to be a Democrat, and then I was a Republican, and now I'm just confused. So if you fall into that category, that's fine, too. Have an opinion, though. There's so much passion pouring out of Americans. That's what I love about this country. And we have freedom of speech. If you don't like something, you can always zap it, tune it out. That's why the whole idea of the fairness doctrine smashing into radio land would be a disaster, demanding that you have to have this on the stations and you have to air this and you have to air that. And that's ridiculous. And the same thing with the tube. Because trust me, there's plenty of things that I could care less about watching on television. Mindless, zone-out television, I call it. How many reality shows do we have, for goodness sake? If I were taking just a wild stab at it, kind of playing a little Price is Right here from the get-go, I would say we probably, all the cable stations and the network stations, I'm going to say we got at least 150. It sounds like an outrageous number, but I bet if we really counted them, we're probably close to that. Take VH1, take MTV, throw in ABC, NBC, CBS, and everything in between. Bravo. I mean, that's what Bravo is. Real Housewives of fill in the blank. It's a no-brainer. It's just going to be the Real Housewives channel. It's like every man's biggest nightmare. They come home and find their wife not cooking dinner, not doing wash, not doing whatever. Because if it's to be fair, if you have that kind of a life where one partner is the homebody doing all the home stuff, the budget and doing the cooking and the shopping and everything, and the other person is bringing in the bacon, come home to find the wife just sitting there day after day, sucked into the tube, watching the mindless gibberish of the housewives from Atlanta or Orange County or New York or wherever. I mean, it just shows that we are kind of either living vicariously through other people or we're voyeurs. And that's what it is. Voyeurs. We want to see what's happening. It's like an accident. You just can't turn your head away from the accident. Anyway, this is real and it's not reality television. And part of what we're going to talk about this hour includes some odds and ends, because boy, there's some crazy things going on and things that piggyback onto other things that we've talked about for a very long time on this show. Second Amendment rights, the right to carry a gun. And we know all the laws are different and states are different and all that sort of stuff. But now there's a big push for background checks on all gun sales. You know, there's the argument about selling guns at these shows and no checks there, or somebody who's a felon having somebody else get the gun for them, and a couple of other things that have certainly happened that have been fed into the gun sales stuff, whether it's at a show, for example, or at a shop, or, you know, whatever. I mean, I'll say this from the top if you've never heard my show before. I did not grow up in a gun family. Yes, like some uncles that were hunters and stuff, but not necessarily people carrying guns. But I grew up in New York, New Jersey, where, you know, you're not carrying weapons. You don't have a shotgun that's in the truck. Now I live in a state, and I've lived all over the country. Now I live in a state where you go to breakfast easily, you could see somebody with a mounted rack on their truck. So I've seen this through all kinds of lenses, let's say. Do you think there should be stronger background checks on gun sales? Should there be stronger checks? We're going to jump to that. Also, we're going to talk about illegal immigration and the debate being reopened. Sits on a shelf, gets reopened, gets put back on the shelf. It's like the chips that get stale. Oh, they were in the back. We forgot about them. Let's bring them out. They're not good after all, so let's put them back. Maybe it'll be better at another time. This is what happens, and this is this hot potato that just keeps getting passed around. I'm kind of surprised, actually, by the timing of it. But, hey, the conversation is open once again. It's always open here in America Tonight because we talk about it all. The governor of Arizona, speaking of illegal immigration, won a lot of fans over by sticking to her guns, get it, and saying that she wanted tougher laws on the books in Arizona, and in fact signed, if you remember last year, a law where somebody picked up for something else could have been questioned, well, would have been questioned about their citizenship, and more people would have been caught in the net who were in Arizona illegally. Now the governor, Jan Brewer, makes a few headlines again, this time because she vetoes what's been called a birther bill in that state. Here's what she had to say about it.
I did the right thing, but doing the right thing almost always means doing the hard thing.
And it is the hard thing because it's hard for her because people are upset that don't want to see Obama in office and are saying, why did you do that? Because the legislation could have easily gone through. There were the votes there. You just had to sign this thing. And then anybody who wanted to run for office, for president, for whatever, well, really for president, they'd have to show the birth certificate. They'd have to have that birth certificate. And she said it just wasn't the time and place for that, that it made absolutely no sense. So the governor lost a few fans. There were people that were even pushing for her to perhaps be on a ticket, a Republican ticket in 2012. I mean, granted, she was pretty far down the list, but there were people saying, listen, she needs to be there because she's not afraid to take on the government. I mean, after all, Arizona is being sued by the government because of the immigration law that's tied up now in the court. But she vetoed the bill to require presidential candidates to prove citizenship and basically said, in a nutshell, you heard there, it just wasn't the right timing for it, wasn't the right thing to do. It would have made Arizona the first state to pass that kind of a requirement. And I think some people were surprised that she did that. There was pressure on her to sign it, but she didn't go in that direction. All right, we're going in a different direction. Coming up on the flip side, what happened with the First Lady and her plane, among other things that we're going to jaw about. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendovite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I like to see you go right across the floor.
Hey everybody, we're back at it here on ATN. You know how we roll here. If you have any thoughts on guns, of course, this audience loves to talk about guns on both sides of it, though, to be honest. Everybody's invited to this party. We're not leaving anyone out. So the Democrats are pushing for more background checks on all gun sales. Do you think that's fair or foul? Should there be more background checks? What say you, America? 800-259-5791. Anytime something comes up like what happened at the Texas school, by the way, did you hear this story? Can you imagine kindergartners, three kids shot, six-year-old brings a gun to school, it accidentally goes off, it shoots him, and hits two other kids? I think they were stunned. Of course they were stunned. It was at this elementary school, and the gun falls to the ground, fires during lunch, injuring those kids who are 5 and 6 years old. And that's not good. And that's not good when you talk about guns, because then there, that's it. It's like, well, wait a second. So you've got spraying fragments at students, and they're not even, it doesn't matter what age they are, but we're talking about 6 years old. 6 years old. So the kid who brought the gun was injured in his foot. The other kid, it hit his leg. It grazed his leg. And then a five-year-old girl was hit in her knee. You had three little children on stretchers. You had ambulances outside of the school taking them out. The good news is the kids that were on the stretchers were sitting up, that nobody was killed. Can you imagine if they had been killed? It was that pop. I mean, anybody who's been around a gun or fired a gun, you know that pop-pop sound. So those kids heard the pops, and it scared them. Now what do they do? They're saying that the kindergarten kid could face disciplinary action and be sent to an alternative school for up to 180 days. They haven't decided what to do. They don't know what to do. the kid wasn't a kid that got in trouble. So now this gun to school coming out, hitting two people and himself. The question is, how did he get the gun? Well, of course, where do you think the investigation is going to lead? You would assume somebody he knows, unless he took it from someone, unless his, one of his parents had a gun somewhere, which is what I'm thinking, I'm assuming, and these are assumptions, you know what they say about assumptions. But how did he get it is the key thing. How did he get it? I feel terrible for the kid because they say he had a good record. In other words, he was doing well in school and all that stuff. So he didn't have a bunch of things that were happening around him. He wasn't disruptive to the class or, you know, whatever. So, and, you know, the jokes about Texas and guns, and they are rampant now. But I think it's sad. It's sad for the kids, but thank God none of the kids were hit worse. Nobody died as a result of it. But I can't imagine being the mother getting a phone call. I'm sorry, your daughter was shot at school accidentally in the knee. She's at the emergency room at so-and-so. What? Well, then where does your mind go? You automatically think Columbine. Somebody's gone into the school and they're shooting up. You're not thinking, oh, one of the classmates brought a gun to school. That's what happened there. So, as usual, we're veering in a couple of different directions. Let me get back to Michelle Obama and the plane. So, Michelle Obama was in New York doing the talk show, comes back to Washington, D.C., and she has a close call with a military jet. They had to abort a landing because the controller allowed it to get too close, her plane, her 737, to the military jet. So you ask yourself, even the skies aren't friendly for the first lady. And basically, in a nutshell, I mean, the military cargo jets are huge. We're talking 200 tons. And she was landing, of course, at Air Andrews. That's where you come in. And everything was clear and whatnot. Until they got too close, they were off. The air traffic controller was off on how close her plane was to the C-17 and told them to back off. Now, automatically, okay, air traffic controllers, everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks, five falling asleep, there's questions about others, the movie, the guy watching the movie, and now you have the first lady coming, what they're saying, coming close to a near collision. Now, when we think near collision, we think, in my mind, I'm thinking really close. I'm thinking she's looking out the window, and they're seeing the jet stream almost hitting the plane. It wasn't quite that close, but 3-4 miles in is dangerous. So the FAA is looking into it. Boy, they're busy these days, aren't they? The plane landed safely. We know that. It did have to do the go-around thing. But I don't believe they wanted this to necessarily get out because this is another embarrassment for the FAA. They're dealing with massive fallout over several air traffic controllers doing what I just told you, crashing on the gig. Some while planes were trying to land, and here we go again. This time, though, the controller, just so you know, was a civilian controller at the Warrington Radar Control Center, and that guy allowed the plane to get too close to the C-17 that was in front of it because of the 5-mile radius didn't happen. It's the turbulence that you're concerned about off the wings, especially with a plane that big. So they backed off and then came around again. The FAA has a lot of questions to answer about the air traffic controllers. And really, including this, how did it get so close? Is there a problem with fuzzy math with some of these controllers? I'm just thinking out loud. So the president, once again, we're getting close to some celebrating Passover. our Jewish friends. But coming up at the tail end of the week, we have Easter. And this is a big Easter week is a big week for Catholics, of course, Holy Thursday and Good Friday for Christians across the board. And there's all kinds of sunrise ceremonies. And, you know, the old joke about the time when the pews are filled, Easter and Christmas. So this is a very, very important and big time of year. For the second year in a row, the president who so often is battling the image of he's a Muslim out there, talked about Christ specifically, God, his feelings, and more about Easter. Here's a little snippet of what the president had to say.
It calls me to ask God for forgiveness for the times that I've not shown grace to others, those times that I've fallen short. It calls me to praise God for the gift of our son, his son, and our Savior.
All right, so trying to put to rest, I think that's not what the purpose, I don't believe, of doing that, but again, talking about God very obviously there for people who continue to say that the president is a Muslim. You know, here's what I say when we have these conversations. There's a lot of things you could say about Obama, trust me. I think that the administration has been incredibly ineffective. But I think the distracting things about Obama that often people say, don't do anything in the department of making sure he doesn't get elected again. And the Republicans, to me, are over and over again falling into dangerous territory of being too fractured, of not having a good front runner and somebody else to put on the ticket that's strong. Who's going to knock off the incumbent president? Who's going to get enough of that vote to knock off Obama? So I always say this. Don't piddle-paddle around with the distractions of the name-calling and the T-shirt slogans and everything else, because it doesn't help your cause of seeing that this president doesn't become a two-term guy. You got to think about it. It's about the strategy, and that's what the Republicans are trying to do, but they're having a tough time with it, balancing the Tea Party with the strict conservative base and some other things. How does it all pan out? 2012 is pretty close, I'd say. Emails coming up next.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Here we go. The spring break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into hell for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember,
Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's GetTheTea.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Do you have a low or malfunctioning thyroid gland? Did you know that fluoride from toothpaste or water can damage your thyroid? Did you know that your thyroid controls your intelligence, mood, metabolism, energy, and body heat levels? You can support a return to normal thyroid function by stopping your exposure to the toxic elements fluoride, chlorine, bromide, and mercury, and by detoxifying the same. The body's number one detoxifier of these elements is glutathione. Unheated whey protein from grass-fed cows is the number one superfood for raising glutathione. One World Whey is the first ever truly cold-processed whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is undenatured and has the highest bioactivity of any whey protein on the market. The health benefits are real, and the taste is amazing. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Invite you to send me your thoughts at americatonight.net. All roads lead through the website. You go there, click on the email, boom, bada bing, I get it. Or Facebook, Twitter, any of that stuff. It's all there, and we're blogging every day, and you can check out what you missed. Click on that, the features, to get some of the interviews and things that we have done on the show if you missed any of the stuff. Every show, I always say, every week, I know, probably twice or three times or whatever a week, that Mother Nature can be wicked, can be cruel, cherry picking just whatever area of the country, whether it's a mudslide, a flood, tornadoes, hurricane, wildfires. Texas finds itself in that terrible situation of the wildfires where they're at the point where they're getting other fire folks to come in and help douse these areas that keep bubbling up. A million acres or something have been burned already. A million's pretty big, but it's the key of trying to contain it, especially under very, very dry conditions. I thought it'd be interesting to hear what Nim Kidd said about this. He's the chief of the Texas Division of Emergency Management. I caught him on one of the shows, and some of you will relate to this when you've seen wildfires in your own areas that have gotten out of control, when you're not getting enough of the wet stuff. Take a listen.
You know, I think in most cases we all see fire as a tool that we use and able to harness, but what we're dealing with right now are just sheer forces of nature, and it's wildfire unlike we've experienced before. We've set priorities of life and property protection, quick and effective response, firefighter safety, damage assessment, and maximum public awareness. We're really having to take a defensive approach to fighting these fires and getting that message out to people that could be in harm's way is the best thing we can do right now. We have the U.S. Forest Service here helping us as well as firefighters from states all across the nation. You know, it's like trying to prepare for a hurricane or a tornado. We all want to be prepared for it. I think the resources were in place, tight times, tight budgets everywhere. And we also have to remember that a lot of the communities out in West Texas are volunteer fire departments. They're not supported by any tax base. They get their money through literally bake sales, barbecues, and donations from the community. And when we're looking at those rural areas, there's no tax base out there to fund the fire service.
Yeah, and that's the key thing that all of you can probably relate to in some of the areas where you're listening to America Tonight right now. You know, you can never say enough great things about the people who work and volunteer at the fire department, but it's tough because there's not enough money. We see this in what's happening with the local governments. And so here's an example of the downside of all of this. Not enough money to fight these blazes, not enough people, and you're really stuck and begging for help. And sure, that the help will come, but the problem is how much is lost in the interim. And the conditions are just horrible. Massive wildfires have charred, they say, like a million acres. I checked that figure, and it just continues to grow in West Texas and the Texas Panhandle. It's been awful. They're just not getting any rain, and that's what led to the conditions. But when you talk about the amount of fires bubbling up, 81 fires, and how many firefighters do you think it takes? If you were just guessing, just imagine for a second. I've described the conditions, the million acres. We're talking in a very densely populated areas, so that's kind of the good news there. But they're heading from the areas that where there wasn't population, but now getting into the areas where there's much more population. So that's not the good thing that's happening, because now it's hitting residential spots. But how many fire folks do you think you need to cut down these fires? If you were thinking 900, ding, 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 900, and now 33 different states are helping. 33 different states. How many people have had to be evacuated in the last couple of days or homes? 500. That's how serious it is. Oof. Godspeed to all those people. And really, it is like a community. Firemen and women are the best in how quickly they respond and how eager they are to help. And it's one of the most dangerous jobs that you could possibly ever have, if you're doing it for a living or if it's a volunteer situation. All right, let's swing to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank
you. Been slacking this week.
I know. What's up with that? Taxes, or we're not paying them enough, or what's going on?
I definitely don't think we're paying them enough, but I think it's just that the taxes, he's getting older every year. Needs more nap time. I can concur with him. Every year I just say it. I need more nap time.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. We all need more nap time. That's the problem.
It's those third shifts, man. You need nap time on third shifts.
You do. Otherwise, you fall asleep, and it can have consequences. Look what's happening here in America Tonight with the mistress guy.
I know. I have to poke him with a stick next time.
Oh, and if Matt falls asleep, we're really stuck. Because I don't know how I'd wake him up. Just ring the phone off the hook. I have no idea what I would do if he fell asleep. All right, let's check what you had to say. Let's check out what you had to say. All right, here's one from Jake, our chronic emailer in Austin, who says, Kate, do you really think the plane was that close? It's so ridiculous how the Washington Post set out a big headline, breaking news, about the air traffic controllers screwing up again. Yeah, it was a little bit of a mistake, a misjudgment perhaps, but was it really that close? Well, I would say this. If you're talking about a plane that's 200 tons and it's a C-17 and you're 3 miles in right behind it, I don't, you know, I'm not necessarily feeling comfortable with that. As somebody who has a husband who was an ex-pilot, I asked him about that and he said, yeah, no, you got to be out of that five, especially with a C-17 and a 737. You got to be definitely further back. So 3 miles in is pretty close. And then there was some confusion. No, it was really 4 miles. You know, bottom line is it was a mistake and it was the first lady and how crazy, just illustrating again the point that some balls are being dropped, whether it's regional air traffic controllers or they're in the bigger cities or whatever. And it does make you think, wow, do you really trust the system? And what's going on with the FAA? Why aren't some of these things being taken care of? Why do you not have shifts that are straight across the board and enough time in between? There has to be a way to do it. And I know the answer to this is because they're cutting back, or they did cut back, but of all things to cut back on. So you have parts of the government where you have triple the amount of people that are really needed to do the job, and then in an area where you could kill people, you don't have enough people sitting there in the towers. Oh, it's the overnight hours. Who cares? We're not worried about that. We move on to this one. This is from Alice. Hello, America, tonight. It's like almost everyone starts that way. Hello, America, tonight. Hello, America, tonight. Did you hear the story about the kids in Houston? Outrageous. I have to say, I know, Kate, that you don't carry guns, but you say you support the Second Amendment. I think it's ridiculous that we are such gun-crazed idiots in America, and this is a perfect illustration of it. A little boy goes to school. God knows how many people could have been hurt. I can't wait to find out the rest of the story. Thoughts? Well, I want to hear the rest of the story, too, how he got the gun. Was it a parent that had a gun under a bed? He knew where it was. He took it. He just had it. Was he in a particularly dangerous area and somebody gave him the gun? How did he find the gun? That would be frightening. How did he come across the gun? Where did he get this gun from? And I do think it's atrocious. I do think it's terrible that a 6-year-old is in this situation and that two classmates or other classmates could have been killed. Here's another one. This one is from Big Bob. What do you think about the immigration deal happening now thanks to the president? ? Okay, I think what you're referring to is that the president hosted a meeting on immigration reform at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue on Tuesday afternoon, which says he's probably willing to move forward on the issue of it. In one way, I'm kind of surprised. The president's talking about making this very bipartisan. And people that were at the meeting, you had New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, name it, and that's who you're talking about. So is this the right direction to go in opening up immigration with 2012 looming? We're remembering Oklahoma next.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Here we go. The Spring Break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into hell for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember,
Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it, but you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's GetTheTea.com.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
2, 3,
my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo.
When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me?
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo.
But I said, no, 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 no. I said, no, no, you're not the one for me.
So busy week for the president.
No, no,
the
no,
Easter
no, no, no. Said,
breakfast,
no, no.
Talking about bringing up immigration again. And I say again, because this issue just bubbles up, gets pushed back down, bubbles up, gets pushed back down. Meanwhile, problems are horrible around the border cities. We see Juarez and El Paso, how awful that is. It's like a shooting gallery. Ridiculous. And people are afraid to go to Mexico. I had a friend, a good friend, who's been on the show before, Tom Ward, just back from Acapulco, and he said things are a little bit down even in the resort areas because people are afraid to go to Mexico because of the drug violence and not knowing what's going to happen, even in areas where they should feel like they're okay. They don't want to take the risk. So while Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, California, Florida, even a lot of states dealing with, even in the north, dealing with the influx of illegal immigrants and the impact it has on their local economy, depending on what we're talking about, whether it's gangs and serious crimes in Arizona or whether or not it has to do with schools that are flooded and then they don't have enough money in the education budget or hospitals that are overrun, like Parkland Hospital, and there are a slew of others, California and San Diego, they say that all the time. So the president is says he's disappointed that in his first 2 years in office, he couldn't get anything passed, that he wants to see immigration reform, and he wants to do this with a bipartisan slant. One of the things that was brought up was the DREAM Act. No way, no how. I see this as bipartisan. But he said this was a major blow, and a blow to his dream, if you will, to allow children of illegal immigrants who go to college or join the military to get citizenship. And it failed, if you remember, at the tail end of the year, and the president is saying they're going to bring it up again. Also, the focus will be on securing borders, strengthening economic competitiveness, streamlining the legal immigration system, and new enforcement strategies of people convicted of serious crimes. Also, accountability to businesses who hire illegals by breaking the law, and also for people who are living here illegally. Sounds like a huge agenda, and you wonder, geez, how much of that do you think will actually be accomplished? For example, the strengthening, well, forget the strengthening economic competitiveness, the securing borders. How many times have people screamed about the borders need to be secured? Because how can you talk about dealing with the illegal immigration problem if you have borders that aren't secured? You don't know the flow and the amount. You can have the guessing game and the same old cat and mouse stuff that goes on, but you have to have secure borders. That's it. Look at other countries. Yes, I know they're smaller, less population, all of that. Not all, but some of the countries that we could say are in play here. And one of the key things is they're very tight on immigration. But the United States, let's face it, to be honest, in the South, we're bordering a third world country with a lot of holes in the system and a lot of areas to come across that are very spartan. Desert areas, tough terrain where you couldn't possibly, unless you had some gigantic wall, which is not going to ever be built. There's not going to be some kind of a brick wall that you can't get through. It's not going to happen. It's not like a Mad Max movie where you're going to see some crazy system set up. It's been discussed, but that will never happen. It won't happen. How do you fix the broken immigration system? That is the $24 million question. That is the $1.4 trillion question. We have talked about it constantly here on the show. And I always go back to the same thing. After spending time with the Border Patrol, what has to happen? What has to happen is you do have to have secure borders. You have to start there. You have to be willing to hold the hot potato and go for it and do something. Really try to make tracks on this and gain some traction. It's so unfair, too, because you have people who are dying to get in this country, who hire lawyers, who do everything they can, who scrimp and save. I'm not saying billionaire people. I'm saying people who don't even have money. They want a chance at the American dream, and they're waiting in line. They're waiting in line for a turn that might not ever come. While you have other people who are coming across the border in droves, in some cases sad stories because they're being taken advantage of, but regardless, there's all kinds of things connected to that and all kinds of problems that are now our problems here in the United States because a blind eye was turned many, many decades ago, and now we are paying the price for it big time. Let's turn to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, sadly, do you remember where you were when Oklahoma City was literally torn apart? And the answer is, I remember I was in California and somebody, it's the strangest thing, I was at a gym and somebody said to me, because of course you're surrounded by television, somebody said, oh my God, with a terrorist attack. I mean, immediately, that's what left their mouth. Then you started to see the pictures, the video came in, and how sad it was with the kids and the daycare and the federal building and all the conversations surrounding what happened and What was the material made of? Was it fertilizer? Was it this? You know, just every possible angle in the story as it was unfolding. But so often when these things happen, horrific things that change the lives of people in the city, there is a disconnect eventually as the years go by. I think to the fact that so many lives were ripped apart and so many people lost their lives. I mean, people that are still living have to grapple with every day the loss of a child or a husband, a wife, etc. Here's what the governor, Mary Fallon, had to say about the people in Oklahoma City, the anniversary and monument.
That is what has become known as the Oklahoma Standard. The Oklahoma Standard that has helped this city not only survive, but to thrive in such a terrible tragedy. The Oklahoma City National Memorial is a testament to the resiliency of the human spirit. It's a reminder of how neighbors helped one another. It's a reminder of the goodness, of the love of so many. It's a reminder of so many people who stepped forward that day.
All right, so you heard what she had to say, the governor. So many people who stepped forward to help in an atrocious time in history. And marking the anniversary, I think, is important because of those that are left behind. And you think of how long ago that was and how horrendous it was. 1995, in April of 95, the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City, killing 168 people. And it was time to coincide with the Waco anniversary. And boy, oh boy, sad and awful for so many families whose lives, like I was just saying, were changed in a very, very dramatic way. So to honor the people, their names were read out loud, and we thought that we would let you hear the survivors reading the names of their relatives who were lost in the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oklahoma Water Resources Board Building. Trudy Jean Rigney. Robert N. Chipman. Athenian Building. Job Corps. Catherine Elizabeth Ridley. Anita Christine Hightower. Rescue worker Rebecca Needham Anderson.
Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, U.S. Secret Service, 9th floor. Alan G. Witcher. Kathy Lynn Seidel.